Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber Podcast. My name is Tony Groves and we are talking the story today, the story on everybody's lips except for Martin, because Martin generally just only wants to relate everything back to bogus self-employment.
It's important stuff, Tony.
No, actually, Martin, when are you supposed to be in the PAC for listeners' benefit?
23rd of March it's penciled in for, so barring disaster, I'll be in there on the 23rd of March to kick ass and take names. Thanks.
Yeah. Just quick reminder, patreon.com/tortoiseshack. It's been a rough time for everybody. We get that. We know that. But these podcasts cost time, money, effort, and we would really love you to help us keep producing them. We love doing them, but love is not going to pay the bills.
No, it doesn't.
Look, we're going to go straight in. Delighted to be joined by Green Party Dublin South Central TD, Patrick Costello, who has been in the news all morning. Because, Patrick, you have decided to take a case against something that we've campaigned on this podcast against, the CETA, the European and Canadian trade deal. Patrick, do you want to just give listeners an idea, first of all, we can link to your statement, and it's a really good statement, but do you want to just give them a quick synopsis of what the details are?
Yeah, so essentially, the Oireachtas has been asked to ratify CETA. CETA involves trade deal, which is European competence, and is controlled by Brussels. And then it also includes an investor court system. And like listeners of your podcast will have heard other guests talking about the investor court system. And one thing that has left me deeply unsettled throughout this process is that investor court system. And by setting this up, are we transferring some of our judicial power to a body that is outside our constitution? And, the more I looked at this, the more I couldn't square those things. And like we have precedent in terms of other cases where if we are giving up some of our power as outlined in the constitution, we have to have a referendum on it. And look, the European Union is an example of that, and I'm a big supporter of the European Union, and I voted yes, I think, in every EU referendum I could. And we gave up some of our power to the courts of justice in Europe, and we got something back for it. When we set up the International Criminal Court, we did the same thing. We voted by referendum to give up some of our judicial power, and we got something back for the International Criminal Court. So essentially, with CETA now, there's two questions. First of all, should we ratify it? What are the consequences of doing it? What are the ramifications of not ratifying it? But for me, there's this burning question of how do we do it? And I guess that's what I wanted to clarify by taking to the courts. And the courts are the right place to do that because, you can have lots of different legal opinions, but they only become legal fact when in front of a judge.
I can see this is not something you did easily. This is something that you've thought about for a while, and this is something that you decided.
I don't want this to be about me.
No,
I don't want this to be about me. There's a fundamental question here about how we ratify this. What is the correct legal process? And I really think that's a very important question to answer. And the people we pay to tell us definitively what is constitutional and what isn't are our judges. So we have to go and ask them. And, I think that's what I was trying to do with this.
Well, I think it's very fair because one of the points that has been pointed out by people who like Alice Mary Higgins and other vocal advocates, people who object to the deal and particularly the investor courts, they've said, why do we need this secondary court system when by all accounts, and again, the GDP figures play it out for last year, we're the best in the world at this FDI business. Why do we need the corporates to have more additional powers and give this separate thing? Now, the legal, you're right. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like, there's a really fundamental question here that's kind of separate to, is the deal good or bad? Should we ratify it is a political choice. And how do we ratify it is a legal question. And I think, you know, that's, they're two separate questions. So, you know, I think when we're in front of the courts, it's not going to be about investor courts are bad or investor courts are good. It'll be, here's how investor courts fit into our constitution. Here's how they don't. Here's how they fit into the European legal system. Here's how they don't. And it'll be that kind of conversation, not about whether they're good or bad. That's a political choice that needs to be made in the Oireachtas. And that's what's happening with the committees and the committee scrutiny.
That's a key point, really, Patrick, is that that is the issue. You are not fighting CETA. You're fighting the constitutionality of implementing political policy of this nature without first putting it to a referendum. I mean, that's a hugely important point. It's hugely salient in the CETA conversation as well. But that's kind of coincidental. You're clarifying something that needs to be clarified for the future.
I think for me, there's just a huge question here. And look, this is really fundamental. And in signing international treaties, like many of the international treaties we've signed are really good. Not everyone is, but I'm a supporter of the European Union on the European Union project. And, you know, we signed up and we became the European Union by supporting those treaties. But it was done by treaty. And I think, and it was done by referendum. And, you know, I think when we are looking at protecting the judicial power in the constitution, it's just, what's the right way to do it? And again, like one of the things I was looking at or comparing it to was Germany, where the Bundestag are looking at it and the Constitutional Court is looking at it. There's both legal and political scrutiny. So I see no reason why we shouldn't do both legal and political scrutiny. And it's not the job of the Oireachtas to do that. And, you know, everybody could go and get a legal opinion. They would say something different. And as I said, the only place legal opinion becomes legal fact is in front of a judge in a courtroom. And I think that's why we need to do this as it's like, this is about answering fundamental questions that are at the center of our constitution, our separation of powers and all those kind of things. So
I don't know if you saw,
we could ramble off into a political science lecture or a constitutional law lecture here, you know, and it is, these are in a way kind of, you know, not fluffy, but incoherent concepts. It's not something you can necessarily put your hand on, but they are still really important.
Well, I just on it, I don't know if you saw Simon Magar's framing of this. He put it that it would center on the need to have a referendum on CETA's investor dispute resolution system and the way it may usurp the independence of the judiciary in the Constitution, as upheld in the Constitution. So that's it in a nutshell, really. He's surmised it there in not so many words. And that is a very fair conversation to be had. I think, you know, we have, again, without centering on CETA, like our concerns for CETA have been well voiced on this podcast and you know, over a number of months at this stage. But I think this is just simply a fair question to ask. And before you came on air, we made the point that in any other workplace, you would try and say if something has been done that if you felt something was being done that was maybe contrary to, say, a human resource policy or an internal policy or an audit policy, you would certainly put it to the arbitrator, somebody to arbitrate on it and make a decision to see if that is the case. So it's really just a question you're asking in essence, yes?
And asking it of the people who are empowered and paid to answer those kind of questions. Like, it is a big deal. It is, you know, it's very, as I say, it's very fundamental. It's very foundational. And it gets into these very big, lofty concepts. But, you know, the first thing you get as a TD was a copy of the standing orders of the Dáil and a copy of the Constitution. And, you know, I think I'm just trying to be guided by them.
Well, I think your opening point where you're explaining that, you know, when we hand away some of our ability to make decisions for ourselves, that we've always had to put it to a referendum. And this would seem to be the same question of sovereignty. Sometimes it's the right thing to do and we vote it that way accordingly. But to be not offered the opportunity to say whether this is a question of sovereignty or not, I'm really glad you're doing it, Patrick. I'm glad that it's going to be clarified one way or another.
Now let's find out.
What's the procedure from here?
Well, we'd present a statement of claim to the solicitors for the government. They would respond with a defence, and then, you know, we would look at that, and we can, if we still disagree with what they are saying, then we would have to go in front of a judge, and they would, between the two arguments, decide what the law actually is.
So it's in train now, and we Nick, the ball is in their court, as the expression would go.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to drag you into the complexities of this, but I can, and I know you don't, it's not about you. It's about doing this because you feel that this is something that's important to do, and I share your view on that. But I do have to say, there's been a huge outpouring of gratitude towards you as well today on social media and the likes, where people have felt that, you know, taking this stand was the right thing to do. Did you see any of that?
No.
You've been up to your eyes. No, and that's understandable. But no, there has been, and I think it's well placed, but it shows where a level of the public are, that they're glad that at least the question has been asked. And that is so, that has been seen very much as doing the public some good. How have you found your introduction to politics, Patrick?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Can I just reframe that? Just over a year ago, we were in the Wiley Fox for a live podcast, and we were having the crack. We were having a few drinks. You were on stage, and we had an epic night out. And then we didn't know where this was all going. And then you got elected, and it's been a whirlwind. What a whirlwind! What type of whirlwind has it been, Patrick?
It has been a whirly whirlwind, I think, is the best answer I'm going to give to that question.
A very diplomatic answer.
Well, yeah, there are very few TDs within their first year who are going to make such an impact, Patrick. And regardless of the result from the case, that's a credit to you. It really is. There are TDs who spend 40 years in there and never make any impact whatsoever.
Oh, look, I disagree with that, because, you know, there are lots of TDs who spend 40 years in there representing their constituents, you know, who speak up on behalf of their constituents, who might get the local school fixed, you know, and that's service, and in a way that's part of our the job as a TD as well, you know. If we were all just looking to make a big splash, it would probably be
But I think it's worse. Unfair to say that you're looking to make a big splash.
That's the thing. I wasn't. But look, this was just a question that I felt needed to be asked and answered, and I'm asking it of the only people who are empowered to actually answer it.
That's very clear. That is extremely clear. And we couldn't agree more with you. It's nice to have the clarification. Does it have a delaying effect on CETA's, on the implementation of CETA's
ratification process?
It depends how quickly it moves through the courts. It can move. I'm told it could move quite quickly. It could be a short number of months. We also have the committee scrutiny at the same time, so depending on how long that takes, if that's long and this case can be quick, it could be It could be very short.
Am I right to say, though, that committees can scrutiny, can you know, they can look at this, they can give it due process scrutiny, but they can't actually make the determination that a court can make on this? They simply can't.
They're different questions. One is the political question. Should we do this? What are the ramifications of it? That's public policy, which belongs in the Oireachtas, and the Oireachtas make those choices. Lots of time when people do go to court, the court says, look, you're better off asking that question in the Oireachtas. That's a matter of public policy. The question I'm asking is a legal question of the process of how we ratify it, which cuts to you know, several parts of the Constitution, our constitutional order, both the articles themselves and previous judgments. And I think, you know, they're kind of separate questions.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. But our concern obviously would be that in terms of the committees section is that we're not exactly clear yet what committees are going to scrutinise it. And that's another concern.
Well, I think, look, that's something that's still in progress. I think Budgetary Oversight has agreed to look at it.
Yeah.
Affairs has agreed to look at it. I don't know. I think other committees are still debating that among themselves. You know, yeah. And I think they'll produce a report of the pros and the cons. And as they say, that's the political question.
Patrick,
just like to say, I have no further questions for you. You better get used to that phrase. But I think that you're doing, as they say, a service. It's nice to have this clarified. It'll give us clarification, not just on CETA, but into the future on other issues. And there's bound to be more as the years roll on.
Mercosur is just around the corner. It is just around the corner. Like, so it's these sort of questions. It's funny, though. And again, Patrick, this isn't aimed at you. I love the fact that this has been taken, because quite often we hear of things where we can't do this because the Constitution is a blocker. You know, we can't have... the right to housing impinges on the right to private property within the Constitution, and how do we test that? And like, you know, we should be having much more of this debate and using the judiciary to make some decisions on these things. So I think it's interesting that I think CETA was going to be the one the where we'd see it flagged up. No, absolutely didn't. So I'm going to say to you, from my point of view, I'm glad you did it. That just betrays my side, where I am, but I don't hide that. But nonetheless, we will be watching closely, and we're grateful for you to giving us this time. It's bloody 8 o'clock in the evening, and I know you want to go and have a bit of food and chill out, but thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Hi folks, before you head off, if I could please ask you, if you enjoy what we do, and I know thousands of you do for some reason, please consider going to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. The podcast has grown exponentially. The platform has just exploded. I'm so thrilled to see so many people finding us, enjoying what we do, listening to the various podcasts, whether it be Glow West, Pack Woman, The Two Norries, Diagnosing Ireland has just launched. All of these things are there now, but it all takes time, money, effort, and a lot of bloody dedication to it. And it just needs to be helped and supported. We don't have ads, we don't have sponsors, there's no big money guy backing us in the background, even though maybe we wish there was, and we could just do what you throwing us the price of a cup of coffee every month. Have a look, patreon.com/tortoiseshack. There's a range of options. Maybe something will suit you. I'd really appreciate it. I really would. Talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.